ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ് ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി ശ്രീ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവാം ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സംകീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്ഥേഷു ഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൾ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയം തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രവരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേത് കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കൊണിദാതൃതാനനേന്ദോഹോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം കനികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാധീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ അവിദ്യമാനോ പ്രോഭാദിഹി ദ്വയോ ധ്യാദുർധിയാ സ്വപ്നമനോരഥോ യഥാ തൽ കർമ്മസങ്കല്പവികൽപകം മനോ ബുധോ നിരുന്ധ്യാത് അഭയം തതസ്യാൽ വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ഫ്രം ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതം ഫ്രം ദി ഡിസ്കഷൻസ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ കവി മഹർഷി ആൻഡ് King Nimi. King Nimi has raised this question, what is Bhagavata Dharmam? In answer to that, the sage Kavi Maharshi is replying. So that is what we were discussing last Sunday. So Kavi says there, Avidyamano avabadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya svapnamanoradho yatha തൽ കർമ്മ സങ്കല്പ വികൽപകം മനോ ബുധോ നിരന്ധ്യാത് അഭയം തതസ്യാത് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ വേർഡ്സ് വി സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് സോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എ വെരി വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇൻ ദി ഭാഗവതം യു വിൽ സീ ഇൻ ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ധം തിങ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ആർ ഡിസ്കസ് വിച്ച് ആർ നോട്ട് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് എൽസ്വെയർ ഇൻ ദി ഭാഗവതം ദർ ആർ റീസൺസ് ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ഓൾസോ ആസ് ഐ സെഡ് ബിഫോർ that Sukadeva Goswami's presence in the while Parikshit was leaving was obviously arranged by Krishna's plans, because Sukadeva Goswami in generally do not visit people. He is always transcendently situated, even compared to all other great sages, because of his fixed condition, as we say in the prayers that യസ്വാനുഭാവം അഖില ശ്രുതി സാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥി തീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം ദെൻ വൈ ഡിഡ് ഹി കം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ഹിസ് കൺസേൺ ഫോർ ദ സംസാരി സംസാരീസ് മീൻസ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് അബ്സോർബ്ഡ് ഇൻ സംസാരം ഇൻ മെറ്റീരിയൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് സോ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ഹിസ് കമ്പാഷൻ ഫോർ ദോസ് ഹി ഡിസൈഡഡ് ടു റിവീൽ സെർട്ടൻ തിങ്സ് ടു അസ് ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ ഹി ഹാഡ് കം ഹി ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഒബ്ലൈജ്ഡ് ടു ഡു സോ. He is not obliged to give us all this understanding of spirituality. But samsarinam karunayaha, out of his compassion, he has decided to come and decided to reveal this knowledge to us. And that is the knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever Sukadeva Goswami has spoken. As you know, that when Parikshit Maharaj was eager to hear Bhagavatam, so many other great sages were present there. Who were all there? If you look into the list in the first canto, you will see there at the very end, Vasishtam, Vasishtam, Parashara, Vedavyas, Srinarada Maharshi, and so many others, Parashuram, and Gadi, Vishwamitra, and so many, and so on and so forth. The list is given there. Now, when Sudeva Goswami arrives on the scene, all these great sages got up from their seats to welcome him. This is very significant because generally Vedavyasa Maharshi is Sudeva Goswami's father, isn't it? So they, strictly speaking, Vedavyasa Maharshi doesn't have to get up when Sudeva Goswami comes. After all, it is his son. But having an experience before from in the early days about the position of Vedavyasa position in relationship with Sudeva Goswami, it was understood that Sudeva Goswami had a deeper understanding of the absolute truth, Brahman. And therefore, it was given to understand that Sudeva Goswami is on a higher spiritually realized state than even Vedavyasa Maharshi is. And therefore, Vedavyasa Maharshi got up from the sea to welcome him, to show his reverence to him. And then, after that, if you look into the list, you will see Parashara Maharshi, who is Vedavyasa Maharshi's father, he also got up to welcome Sudeva Goswami. That means the grandfather is getting up to receive the grandson. Have you heard this anywhere? That can happen in the case of Sudeva Goswami. Parashara Maharshi, who is Vedavyasa Maharshi's father, he got up to welcome Sudeva Goswami there. Leave that alone. Even if you leave that, his father was Shakti. Who? Parashara Maharshi's father was Shakti. Shakti was not present in the meeting. But Shakti's father is Vasishta. Even Vasishta got up from his seat to welcome Sudeva Goswami. So you can see from all this that Sudeva Goswami is a very special personality, in the sense that his father Vasishta, his grandfather Parashara, and great-great-grandfather Vasishta, even they are getting up to welcome him because of the Sudeva Goswami's transcendental position, that he is respected by all the great sages for this reason. That in the realized state, no one could compare with Sudeva Goswami. Vasishta, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavya, Sudeva Goswami. This is father to son. In that way it comes. So including Vasishta and Parashara and Vedavyas, they all got up to welcome Sudeva Goswami when he arrived on the scene. So he is saying here, this Sudeva Goswami is saying here, avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya swapnamano radhau yatha. In fact, it is difficult for us to understand many of these things unless we probe into it a little bit more in detail. What is this things mean? What does all this mean? Generally, we have three states of existence, isn't it? This is one of the most important discussions in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not concerned about our material life at all. That is why the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is. It only talks about the transcendental topics. Therefore, you can see there, avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo, that Sudeva is saying here, Sudeva Goswami is saying here, avidya. Avidya, everything begins from avidya. Everything begins from avidya. Avidya means, it's wrong to translate it as ignorance, because it's not strictly ignorance. Avidya is not strictly ignorance. Avidya is more than that. If you look at Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti stages, Jagrat is in the Sattugunam. Jagrat condition in Sattugunam. Jagrat means the vacant state, is in Sattugunam or in mode of goodness. Then the Swapnam or dream state is in Rajogunam, isn't it? It's in Rajogunam. Then the third state, which is Sushupti, is in ignorance. Sushupti is in ignorance. So Saptam, Rajas, Tamas, that means goodness, passion, ignorance, and Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, vacant state, dream state, and deep sleep. And deep sleep. Now, so in Jagrat condition, one has to know that what happens is the senses are active along with the mind and the intelligence, and the material body also is active. When it comes to dream state, when it comes to swapnam state, what happens is the senses stops activity. The senses stops the activity, and automatically the mind becomes active. The mind becomes active. In other words, you can say that in the dream state, basically what's acting is the mind. You see, is the mind. And then in the sushupti, it's deep ignorance. It's in the deep ignorance. But at the same time, mind is not active. Mind and the senses are not active. Only the ignorance is there. Even the tamogunam is covering up everything. Tamogunam covers up everything. So, in order to break away from these, because all these three are not the true coverage on the soul. That is what first thing we have to know. The soul is not affected by any of these things. Soul is independent. Soul has nothing to do with it. Then who is affected by the soul? When I'm talking about the soul, soul means Krishna's part and parcel. But the ego that has come up in the morning when we wake up, I is the ego, isn't it? The false ego, as we say, is the I. The I is covered by these three states of existence. Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. It covers the I. The false ego is covered by these three states of existence. In Shastram it's called as Avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means the three states of existence. Three Avastha. Avastha means the nature of the soul, the particular existence for a certain amount of time. That's called Avastha. So Avastatrayam is that one, is Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, and that is in relationship with the false ego or the ahangaram. It's called ahangaram or false ego. So ahangaram is covered by these three states of existence. Soul is a witness. Soul is a witness. Atma is just a witness to everything. But ahangaram or false ego is covered by these three states of existence. Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. That is one important point. So, if you look into the glories of Bhagavadam, you will find there that Bhakti Devi had two children, isn't it? Jnanam and Vairagyam. Jnanam and Vairagyam are the two children of Bhakti Devi. Bhakti means devotion. Devotion has two sons. One is knowledge and the other one is renunciation. So, it is to be understood from that, if it has been represented like that in the Bhagavadam for one reason, then if there is devotion in the heart, that person automatically will have these two things as well, knowledge and renunciation. These are the two children from Bhakti Devi. Bhakti is products. In other words, if mother is there, the two sons have to be there as well. If the mother isn't there, then the two sons can't be there either. So bhakti means devotion, and devotion is present in a person. Proper devotion, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if that devotion is present in a person, then naturally with the result will be knowledge and renunciation should also be there in that person. This is the way how to understand that, because that is how it's presented like that in the Bhagavatam. With the presence of devotion, a person must have knowledge and renunciation as well. That is necessary. That's one thing. Now, Vairagyam or renunciation is mostly referred to the senses, isn't it? It's mostly referred to senses. Knowledge is referred to the subtle body, to the mind and the intelligence. Knowledge is referred to the subtle body, mind and the intelligence. And Bhakti Jnana Vairagyam, there are three things, isn't it? So, strictly speaking, that the understanding of renunciation comes, or Vairagyam comes from this. And for that reason, Vairagyam is necessary in order that the sense have to be under control. In order the sense has to be under control. For the senses to be under control, Vairagyam is necessary. That is the first thing. People ask this question, why it is a necessity for Vairagyam? Vairagyam, is it necessary to have Vairagyam? Vairagyam is necessary because a person who has Vairagyam, he has sense control. He will not be disturbed by the senses any time. That is a symptom of vairagya, renunciation. When it comes to the mind, what happens is, for the mind, which is the subtle body, there is a necessity for devotion. So, three things: renunciation, devotion and knowledge. For Jagral, Sutnam and Sushupti. You see? So, in order to free yourself from the bodily concept of life, Vairagyam is required. In order to free yourself from the subtle body, devotion is required. In order to free yourself from the deep sleep or ignorant state, knowledge is required. So that is how it fits in. The three states of existence, the three limbs of bhakti, that means bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam, and also jagral, sutnam and sushupti. So in order to free ourselves from the bodily identity, bodily concept of life, or from the senses, vairagyam is necessary. In order to free ourselves from the shackle of mind and in mind, or in other words, the subtle body or chitam, bhakti is necessary. Bhakti deals with that aspect of it. And similarly, when we go into deep sleep, where we are in total ignorance or sushupti state, from there to free ourselves, we require knowledge. Require knowledge. So, like that, it follows. So, Jagral, Sapnam, Sushupti, Vairagyam, Bhakti, Jnanam. Three things. So, so here, it says here, Avidyamanop Avadihidvayo Dhyadurdhiya Sapnamano Ratho Yatha. This is very important. So why is it said like that? Is generally, we all live in Bhavana. Bhavana means in an imaginary world, isn't it? All of us do live in an imaginary world. Why it is called imaginary? Because if you think about our time we spend in the vacant state, you can say 75% of the time is just in dreaming. Things, what we want to do, what we want to have, what we intend to do, or various things like that. This is our meditation most of the time. Thinking about, in a world we live, of our own world we live. And this imagination or imaginary world we create is what takes 75% of our time. Most of the time we spend in that. And keeping that in the background, we do our activities. Is it not? That is how we function in this world. If you look at it, you can see that most of the time we are thinking about what should we do now, what should we do for tomorrow, what should we do for the future. Like these different plans are going on in our mind all the time. Isn't it? So this idea that Swapnam Manoratho Yatha, Swapnam and Manoratham, as I mentioned before, Swapnam is the dream state in sleep, and Manoratham is the mental chariot where we jump in all the time and we carry on in that chariot for a long time. Why I'm saying all these things is, when you analyze all these things, you will know the significance of this verse. What Sukadeva Goswami is saying here through Kavi Maharshi's words. So, what then happens is, in our mind, we think about various things, whatever we want in our desires or karma vasanas inside, all these things, and our association with modes of nature, and whatever way we have developed ourselves, accordingly, the mind will function. So, along with that, we develop our plans. Krishna calls this in the Bhagavad Gita as Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. In Shastram, the another word is Adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam means to think about something and make that as the priority in life. That becomes the priority in life. And the other things takes the second place, third place, like that. But something is a priority in life for all of us, in one way or the other. Krishna calls it as Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. In the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that word, Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. Vyavasayatmiya. So, some people, their desire will be to make a lot of money in this world, become very rich. And once they have that in their mind, in a subtle way, they accept that through their dream and in the imagination that they are having, they accept that to make a lot of money. So, what do they do? The next thing what they'll do is they will read about all the wealthy people in this world. As and when the mind, in a very subtle way, it works like that. Automatically the mind goes in that direction. they will only like to read about wealthy people because it's important for them to know about the wealthy people, their life, wealthy people's life, how they made the money, and their position, and the respect they carry in this world, the honor, and things like that. This attracts them because they are focused on money. So money, that has become their object in life, the whole objective, and on that basis they will train their mind in such a way that under all circumstances this will be the topmost priority. They, what do they call, eulogize them, the wealthy people. They feel that they have made it in their life and they think they have been very successful in their life, and so many things, they impose all these things on that person. And they will not even want to know anything bad about them, because they are already glorifying them in their own mind. So if you say to them that that person has made this wealth through various wrong means, still it doesn't matter, because he has got money. That is how it is. This is the nature of, it is the nature of this avidya. Avidya works like this. When avidya comes, this is what happens. Everything is kept aside. He has got money, so he has to be worshipped. He has to be accepted. So because he finds that in spite of all the problems in this world, he has made money, so he must be a very special person. He finds so many qualities in that person and starts imposing everything on him. That is what it happened. So that is with money is concerned. Money and the rich people. Some people are attracted to health, good health, healthy body, and attractive and physically strong and physically attractive to such people. So those people are attracted to sports, sportsmen and so on, or people who are film stars and people who look beautiful in their body. They're attracted to that. So such things are priority in their mind. So those people go in that direction. Then there is again, there are people who are attracted to beauty. Some people are attracted to beauty so much. So wherever there is something beautiful, there is something beautiful, automatically their mind will go in that direction. Mind will go into that direction. So this is the nature of avidya. Avidya's nature is like that. It decides something important in life, and whole life in jagrat state, it engages in that thing what it is fixed up with. What it has fixed up with. Whether it is money or position or beauty or health or whatever that is, it goes by that. That is what it is attracting them. So this is a very serious thing, because when you start studying this, you will see there that in jagrat state, it is very difficult to escape from this consciousness. It's very difficult to escape from this consciousness. That, so many times what happens is, although he is seeing these things as a goal in life, he is still experiencing his own distress in jagrat, isn't it? He experiences his distress in jagrat. In the vacant state, he is experiencing his day-to-day distress in life. So in order to free himself from that distress, he goes and watches some serial or cinema or something like that. That's how he escapes from this distress. He goes and sits in front of the box and see, thinking that, oh, let me see, he's thinking the same thing. What is going on in his own life, he is finding in somebody else's life, and he is feeling a relief from his life. It is true that he gets a relief temporarily from that. That by watching the family life of in the serials or in the cinema, he gets a temporary relief, at least for that moment, because nothing is working in his own life. So he is feeling distressed. And naturally, he wants a relief from that distress, so he goes and sits in front of the television and watches the family life in the serial or whatever others are experiencing, and then they're trying to free themselves from that. But what he does not know is, when he does that, all the problems in the serial becomes his problems later. All the problems in the serial becomes his problems later. And that is what happens in most of the cases. Then the what we do not understand is that actually human life is a dream. It goes on for a very, very, very long time. In this Yoga Vasishtham, Vasishtha Maharshi says about this. He says this human body itself is a dream. which lasts about, only difference is this daydream and the night dream. It's in the night dream, we leave this gross body here and we go away in the night dream. We go away from the gross body, isn't it? So already we have left this gross body and we have gone to a dream body and we are experiencing the dream in there, in the night. But in the daytime, when we come back to the Jagrat state, we come to Jagrat state and we experience another dream here. Another dream goes on here. A long lasting dream, about 50 to 60 or 70 years, whatever that is. It's another dream in relationship with the body. In relationship with the body. That is the that is the situation. So it is dream, always dreaming. In the daytime dreaming, in the nighttime dreaming. So this is why it is spoken like this is. We have to understand that under all these conditions, it is impossible to realize the self. It's impossible to realize the self. It's not possible. Because in the daytime you are dreaming about the daily activities and daily achievements and daily happiness, what brings immediate happiness to us. That's what we are dreaming about in the day. In the night, we are dreaming about things which are completely connected with what we have experienced in our mind or senses that comes back in the form of vasanas. This sapnam state is mostly vasanas that manifest. Vasanas means our propensities. What is in the subtle body in the form of sanjita karmam and agama karmam. What is sanjitam, what is in storage, that comes out in the dream state. So in the vacant state, prarabdha karmam is coming through. And that takes away all our effort in realizing the self. In the dream state, the sanjita karmam takes away all our effort in realizing the self. There we have no even independence to do anything. Completely driven by the mind. We go on with it. Whatever the mind offers to us, we have to accept it. In the sushupti state, it is deep ignorance where there is no knowledge either. So there is no possibility of realizing the self. So either in Jagrat or in Swapnam or in Sushupti, there is no possibility of realizing the self. This is why Srimad Bhagavatam is saying here, avidyamano pyavadihi dvayoho. That avidya that has gone in is so deep. And it is not easy to come out of that. When we discuss all these topics in the Bhagavatam, it is not easy to realize it. Because unless one sits and think about it in deeply, why these things are important. Because only then you can recognize it. It is not easy otherwise. Otherwise we'll carry on thinking that, oh, everything I'm doing wonderful in life. But imagine the restrictions that has been put on us by material nature itself. What are they? The restriction is this, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, the three states. These three states, as long as they exist, it is difficult to realize the self because they are themselves impediments. They are themselves impediments to us. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a discussion about this dream. You see, it's nothing but a discussion about dream. So, in order to understand what is self, what is the soul, how to come closer to the soul, it is necessary one has to free oneself from this situation. One has to free oneself from this situation. That is where effort is required from our side. Effort is required from our side. We have to get the senses under control, the mind under control, and in deep sleep, we have to know how to free ourselves from that situation as well. So much about Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. Just understand that Jagrat is also a dream state for us. Jagrat becomes pure when we have escaped from that, from the dreaming. But it is not possible. Because if you look at Jagrat in the vacant state, as I said before, 75% of our time is in the dreams. We live in these dreams all the time, thinking about various things. Either thinking about wife, children, relatives, friends. So many things is coming one after the other. And then if there is nothing else, worry about the problems in the office, in the job, or something or the other to worry about. Worry about the institution or this or that. So many things, relationships, all these kind of things. This is what our time is spent on. All the time we are not working, isn't it? All the time mind is working, but physically we are not active. But even while physically we are doing, many of the jobs what we do is repetitive and there is no total absorption of the mind either. Even then the mind goes into so many other things. So once we recognize this fact that this swapnam or this dream state exists in Jagrat also,
exist in Jagrat also. In the vacant state also, this dream state exists. It is difficult to say that it doesn't exist. It is not possible to say that. So, if you want to know about the soul, Bhagavatam is saying that the dhyadodhya saptamanoratho yatha, we have to come to a state where it is free from sleep, free from free from this taking birth. Actually, we are taking birth all the time, isn't it? What happens at night? We leave this gross body, isn't it? Gross body is functioning, but we are not conscious of any of the activities of the gross body. Now, not only that, we go into a dream body where we are moving in, soul is moving into another state. But in all these conditions, what's happening is that the sopnam or dream changes. From the dream state, it changes. From the dream in the day, changes into the dream in the night, where the mind becomes active on a different plane altogether. Different plane altogether. So the Jagrat state, the body is growing. For example, this body, even scientists agree with this, that every 7 years, all the cells gets replaced in the body. All the cells gets replaced. They say like that. And Shastras are also saying, if you read the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that dehinosmin yatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara tada dehandra praptar dhira satranam uhyadi, that this deham is constantly changing. It's constantly changing. And every time we leave the gross body and we go into the subtle body, we take birth again. In the subtle body, we take birth. Then we die in the subtle body, we take birth in the causal body, or the sushma sharir, or the karana shariram, or in the causal state. So these three bodies we are constantly changing. These three bodies we are constantly changing. What bodies we are changing? Gross body we are changing, subtle body we are changing, and the causal body, which is the karana shariram, that is the avidya state, sushma, that also we are changing. In between, this is called avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means these three states of existence. We are keep moving back and forth. If we come to a state where we are free from these three states, by moving into a state of existence where we can release ourselves from that, it is in that state it is possible to develop Krishna consciousness. It's possible to develop Krishna consciousness. So that is, we'll come to that, why it is essential to be like that. That is because ajam asvapnam anidram, it says like that. That is the state where you can do something. Ajam means where you don't take birth again. Ajam. Asvapnam. Asvapnam means where there is no dream. You're not in dream anymore. Dream state has to go, because in dream means all sorts of things we dream. Anidram, and there is no sleep also. So when these three states are taken out from us, if we can create a state of existence like that, that is where all possible to understand and have the effect of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita on us. Very often when we study these Vedic literatures, we do not realize it, our own restrictions, our own limitations, in other words. The limitations put on us is this Jagra Sopnam and Sushupti. That is the limitations on us. If we recognize that fact, you can see that in the Sopnam state and in the dream state, also you don't have an independence, nor you have an independence in Jagrat either. So Asopnam, Asopnam, Ajam, Anidram, it says like that. Asopnam, Ajam and Anidram. We don't even think about our own birth in this world. How many of us remember about our birth? Nobody can remember birth, isn't it? Birth, it has happened. When we come to know about ourselves, it is only probably by about 4 or 5 years old. Up to that, we don't even know what we are doing. We just come here, whatever we are attracted by, mostly the childhood is attracted by playing. So we are attracted by the play, and then we stay away from our proper identity. So, Jagra, Sapnam and Sushupti. So, how can one come out of this? This is the question. How to get out of this sleeping state, how to get out of the dream state and all other existence. there is a story given in relationship with that. Through this story, it is easier to understand that also. In the villages, normally, people keep cows in the villages in India. And most of them, they keep cows at home. And during the day, they let the cow go away from home. Unlike in the West, it is not so tightly controlled, the movement of the cows, because cow is considered to be part of the family. And cows are worshipped and cows are accepted as the wealth at home. So, the cows are let out in the morning by the householder. The cow goes away. It goes away and starts looking for something to eat in different places. Sometimes it goes to the field, sometimes it goes to somebody's compound and start eating whatever is. Cow doesn't know anything. All it wants is something to eat. And very quietly it goes and starts eating. When it goes and does that, somebody else gets upset about it, isn't it? He says, and then it develops into a fight between two families, two householders. It can even develop into that. So the cow knows, cow is not aware of anything, whose property it is. Cow just goes, wherever it finds a nice banana plant or a good field where it can graze easily and find something to eat, it goes away, start eating that. So what happens is, when the cow goes away like that, cow goes and starts eating, and somebody catches the cow and brings it back, and then the householder ties the cow back into the cow shed, into the goshala. So like this, day after day, it goes on. And it causes problems because everybody does the same thing. So one day, the householder realized it, that it's very difficult to control, keep the cow like this. So what he did was, he gave plenty of food and fine grass, beautiful green grass, and plenty of other other items, what the cow likes to eat, to the cow, in the cow shed itself. But still, the cow will taste it for some time, and it will go out for its independence, to enjoy and eat somewhere else, something else, like goes away. So, but still, if you keep persisting, what will happen is, after some time, the cow will realize that enough food is available in the house. There is no need to go out all the way. But it takes some time for the cow to recognize and realize it. It takes quite a long time. Cows are slow in understanding these things. It takes its own time. But it realizes one day, there is no need to go out looking for food. There is plenty of fine grass and fine food. What she likes is available at home. There is no need to go out anywhere. And then what happens? The cow does not go out anymore. It starts eating. Eat this food, what has been given, because this food has to be superior to the food what it gets outside. In outside, it gets sometimes good, sometimes bad things also. Sometimes it may not get anything, especially in the summertime, the grass is not so green. It's only dry grass, and sometimes it's hay. And still, green grass is available in summer in the cow shed. If the householder gives it, the cow gets attracted to it. So the cow stops going out, isn't it? Cow stops going out. So, by doing this, what has happened? The cow has changed its habit. Similarly, if we create a world in our dream, whereby we can escape from the effect of jagrat state, we can escape from the effect of the dream state, and we can escape from the effect of the dream deep sleep, that is the world where all the realization takes place. In order that to happen, the first thing is to has to go look the mind inwards. The mind has to start looking inwards. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. If you want to enter into the world of the great souls, great devotees, and if you want to enter into world of Krishna's divine pastimes, that world is necessary. You have to create that world. You have to create a separate world for that. You cannot do that in Jagral, in Sopnam, in Sushupti. Because in all these three states, you are limited by the restrictions put on us by the very nature of this dream. Dream disturbs both Jagrat and Swapnam, and deep sleep you are affected by ignorance, avidya. So that is why avidya, Swapnam and Manoratham, the three things are mentioned in this verse. Avidyamano avabadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya swapnamanoradhau yathaha. Just see that Swapnam sages know us very well. They know everyone what we are like. And we may claim anything, but they know us better than we know about ourselves. They know us better. That is why they have said, you have to create another world which does not belong to these three, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. If you can create another dream world, instead of the normal dream world, where you can enter into the life of these great devotees and Krishna's divine pastimes, that is where their changes will happen. You may ask the question, why not create that in the Jagrat then? In Jagrat you can't create it, because in Jagrat you don't have the complete control on the situation. Others will dictate to you what you have to do. Is it not? In Jagrat state that is the problem. Others will dictate to you what you have to do. So in Jagrat state you can't do that. The only place where you can do that is in Swapnam, in the dream state. So when one creates a dream state in that way, that is where all these activities helps. All this understanding will come. Otherwise it is not possible. Otherwise what happens is, you will hear. Even Shravanam, this is the same problem. In hearing, it is the same problem. See, you are hearing so many things, but Shravanam is not effective. Why? Because of the presence of the Swapnam, this dream state, that is interfering with the Jagrat state. Therefore Shravanam is not effective. Parikshit Maharaj was able to transcend himself into that dream world in 7 days' time, and therefore Sudeva Goswami was able to push him through that in 7 days' listening, and he was able to come to the platform of perfection. That's what has happened to him. You can see there. So Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, if you study it very well, you will see the necessity to create another world which is out of this, which is away from this. Knowing this situation, the sages have created three divisions in the Vedic literature. Karmagandam, Upasanagandam, Jnanagandam. They are called like this. Karmagandam, Upasanagandam and Jnanagandam. Karmagandam is that one by which you can cross the limitations of the body. Bodily limitations are what? Body limitations are that by executing Karmagandam, properly, karma yogam otherwise, one will get released from the bodily attachment, or body won't come back, come as a obstruction, or obstacle on your progress. Upasana kandam is created for the purpose of crossing over the limit of mind. Upasana kandam is created. Like we chant the holy name, we perform deity worship, we perform sadhana, different kinds of sadhanas, Bhagavatam. Everything is for this purpose. It is called upasana. All of this is referred to as upasana. So upasana kandam is necessary to cross over the limitations of the mind. Otherwise it is not possible. And jnanam is necessary to cross over the limitations of deep sleep. So karmagandam, jnanagandam, upasanagandam, three. The psychology of the human body and understanding of the human body for the sages is so deep, so deeply known to them, that they decided to put this practice by these three different processes. Through karmagandam, limitations of the body, through upasanagandam, limitations of the mind, and through jnanagandam, limitations of the deep sleep or ignorance, what we experience at that time. So so in the Bhagavatam, if you look at this you will find there that throughout Bhagavatam, up to the canto 9, up to including canto 9, it is one story, in the sense that you are hearing about the different activities of Krishna's different incarnations. Krishna's different incarnations. And in the 9th canto, the Bhagavatam talks about a series of kings mentioned there. Solar dynasty and lunar dynasty. A number of kings have been spoken. Generally, our tendency is to read the newspaper. isn't it? You should read the newspaper. If you give somebody gives you Bhagavatam and newspaper, we'll pick newspaper first. Bhagavatam can wait. There is no rush. Because Bhagavatam does not make so much sense to us. Why? That Swapnam is pulling us towards newspaper. Because newspaper is immediately giving you the knowledge about what you are looking for. Isn't it? So naturally, Bhagavatam is not attraction to us. Newspaper is attractive. So knowing very well, Sudeva Goswami, and newspaper means what? It's all about the government, the MPs, the politicians, and their activities. This is most of the news in the newspaper. So in the ninth canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi decided, let me give the news about these politicians. And that is why all the kings are discussed in the ninth canto. All the kings are discussed in the ninth canto. But what the difference is, you may say that it is the history, isn't it? It is the history of the... But notice one thing, that Vedavyas did not put every king into that. He only picked those whom he thought was worthwhile mentioning. Because of their achievements in spiritual life, where they had succeeded in their spiritual life, those kings who became successful in their spiritual life, only those names are mentioned in the ninth canto, not everybody. That's one thing. Secondly, if somebody has thought that Srimad Bhagavatam is history, then they are totally misunderstood everything. The sages have not given any importance to history. The history, what we refer to today as history, modern history, what we call as history, has no significance as far as the sages are concerned. As far as they are concerned, history is total nonsense. This modern history, as far as the sages are concerned, is total nonsense. They do not accept it. Tell you why it is so. They have their own reasons for doing that. Because these things are so subtle, which are related to this, and the reason why they rejected history, if you understand that, you will also be able to accept that. When they talk about this, they know history as it is today spoken is all related to body. It's all related to body. They have no interest in teaching us what somebody has done 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1000 years ago. It has no significance as far as spiritual life is concerned. As far as spiritual life is concerned. What good is there today in this life, me studying about Second World War? 50 years ago, millions got killed each other. One Hitler did so many things. One Mussolini did something else. On somebody else, Stalin did something else. So many big leaders. They had come and they have done and they have gone. Is there any benefit studying these personalities? Only thing what will happen is, if you teach these to children, one of them will think, let me also become like that one day. That's what will happen. The sages know these things because as long as you are situated on a spiritual platform, these personalities are not important. They have no value from the spiritual point of view. They are all related to body. They are all related to body. So it's pointless wasting time studying about them and their achievements and their fall downs and their disastrous activities, what they have done. It's all completely a waste of time. And that is what they didn't want us to do. They didn't want us to waste our time in studying all this rubbish. That is why they say like that. In fact, even while referring to themselves, they presented themselves in a very careful way. If you look at, have you seen how Vedavyas presents himself? How Narada Maharshi presents himself? How Valmiki presents himself? Valmiki says himself, about himself that I was a robber before. He does not want to bring bodily identity into himself. In spiritual life, this is the biggest problem. We have this tendency to see everything through our eyes. And our eyes is controlled by date, month, year, and all these things. This is important for us. What value has it got as far as spiritual life is concerned? Nothing. They are situated in the platform of knowledge. They want us to bring us closer to the soul, not to the body. Those who are identifying with the body will always take these things as important. What is that? Like the way the modern history is taught. And they will study and get A+ or whatever, A star or whatever that they have to get out of that. Then they spend another few years, the beautiful youth time is spent in these things to study about all these kind of personalities. And what do they gain from that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing has been learned from that. So their goal The goal from the sages is self-realization. Their goal is not to teach us this history. You understand what I am saying? Why history is not important. Their goal is self-realization. It is not teaching so-called history to us. History is history. They are not interested in that. They are interested in teaching us self-realization. So in order to become self-realized, these things don't help. These things don't help. So therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that kind of history is not spoken. That history has no value. That history has no value. Therefore, even the sages, when Narada Maharshi spoke about himself, what does he say? I was born as the son of a servant maid, and speaks very briefly about what happened in his early life. Doesn't want anything more to say about it. Valmiki says, I am a daylight robber, robbing others in the forest. Ratnakara was my name in the previous life, and the result was that what happened to me, all that he says in the Ramayanam about it. Vedavyas says, what about himself? What does he say? He says, I was born from a relationship with my father was a great sage, but my mother, that relationship was not proper. Parashara Maharshi was a great sage, Brahmana. Satyavati was a fisherwoman. Malsagandhi, she was referred to. She used to smell fish all the time, because she come from a fisherman's family. And because of that, so many people have offended Vedavyas. And Vedavyas didn't mind that. He wanted it like that. Why? Because the moment somebody tells you good things about you and your body, your bodily identification will increase. Is it not? So in order to teach us that we are not this body, this identification, the body is minimized. And if ever something has to be referred to, it is referred in this way. That it will not give you any, it will actually deter you from identifying with the body as Vedavyas, as a fisherman. If you look from the mother's side, he's a fisherman, isn't it? And bodily complexion was also very bad for Vedavyas. They used to condemn him for that. Many other people used to talk about him in that way. So he had to go through all that. In fact, he was happy that it was happening in that way, because that way the bodily identification didn't come to him. Because it is like that, the sages have shown us this, that the so-called history, what is spoken and taught to us in the modern world, is absolutely not what Bhagavatam is talking about. Bhagavatam is not history. Bhagavatam is bringing us to self-realization. Bhagavatam has got a much higher goal to bring us into, elevate us into that platform. Therefore, including the 9th canto, including canto 9, it is spoken like that. But why? Because through all these things, Krishna Sukadeva Goswami wants us to be prepared to study 10th canto. In 10th canto, everything what is discussed cannot be understood in the conditioned state. It is a transcendental topic. The whole 10th canto is a transcendental topic of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities. Who can understand Rasalila? Who can understand Krishna's childhood pastimes? It's impossible. Although it gives us a taste, even in our Jagrat stage, to understand, but to understand the significance of all this and the tattvam, or the principles behind all that, it is very, very difficult. Only one who has crossed over the limitations of body, the limitations of the mind, and the limitations of deep sleep can understand the pastimes of 10th canto. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam says here, avidyamano pyavabadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya sapnamano radhau yathaham. Then these limitations that has been put on us is such that you will notice this in the Puranas also. Say for example, one incident mentioned in the Bhagavatam will be a little different to Vishnu Puranam. If you look into Vishnu Puranam, one topic that is discussed in the Bhagavatam will be different in the Vishnu Puranam. Again, if you look into Mahabharatam, it will be again different. For example, Bhishma Pitamaha leaving this world, that is discussed in the Mahabharatam as well as Srimad Bhagavatam. It is very different, quite different. You can take Mahabharatam and read it, and you can take Bhagavatam and read it. And then don't start saying, whereas what is our nature? Our nature is saying that there is disagreement here. So which is bona fide? This is what first thing we will ask. This is how we are. Our mind is like that. That we want things like this. And this is exactly what the sages don't want us to have. This kind of mind, which keeps thinking that everything has to be put in black and white to us. Otherwise we will not accept it. And when they wrote the Puranas, when they wrote the Mahabharatam, when they wrote Ramayanam, that was their clear objective, that we do not get into this trap of the mind. We do not get into this trap of mind. That we are caught up in this thing, unable to escape from that. This is our problem. You see, we are caught up in this. What is that? We are caught up in this, in this thing called a date, the month, the year, and the incidents, the activities, all these things. This is what we are concerned about. We do not think why we are doing all these things in order to bring us closer to the soul, the spiritual reality, self-realization. That is the goal. And all the higher principles has been spoken and presented to us through Bhagavadam and Puranas in such a way that somehow or the other we take a little interest in that. We take a little interest and start inquiring further. Otherwise even inquiry doesn't happen in our mind. There's a beautiful story about that, how serious about our inquiry is concerned about the truth. Because of the influence of this sapnam or dream state in Jagrat also, often we do not even inquire about, our inquiry is not very serious about spiritual life. Once it so happened, one young man went to one sage who was living in a hermitage, in an ashram, and he wanted to take instructions from him in spiritual life. He had some interest. He went up to him and said to him, "Can you show me God?" he said. So this person, he wanted to first everything clear before he starts this project. So the sage understood his mind straight away, because most of the people, they know very well. The sages know us better than we know them. So the sage told him, "Yes, I will show you God," he said. But he didn't say anything further. He said, "You stay here, I'll show you God," he said. One day gone, 2 days gone, he said third or fourth day, he started getting a bit impatient. So he started saying to him that, "You told me that you will show me God," he said. So the sage said, "I'll show you God," he said. "I'll show you when the time comes, I'll show it to you," he said. It went on for a while, and then this young man started thinking, "He's bogus, he's trying to cheat me," he thought. Because that's the frame of mind, you see, that's his frame of mind. So that day, when they went to bathe in the river, the sage was a strong, sturdy person. Young man was not that grown up, he was probably 17, 18 years old. Both of them went into the water, up to the waist, they stood in the water. And suddenly the sage put both his hands on the neck of this person and pushed him underneath the water. Pushed him underneath the water. He couldn't escape. So the other person thought, "He's trying to kill me. By pushing me underneath the water, he's trying to kill me." He kept him for a few seconds, and this person was doing everything to escape from there. But he was so strong, the sage, that he couldn't escape from his grip. He was so strong, he was forcefully holding him underneath the water. So, after a few seconds, he released him. He came out from the water. He came out from the water. He turned to the sage and said, "You have been trying to kill me, weren't you?" he said. Sage said to him, "Yes, I was. Because I had to make you understand something," he said. He said, "What?" He said, "You know, when you were underneath the water, what were you thinking about?" He said, "I was not thinking. I just wanted some air to breathe," he said. "That's all I wanted." Sage said, "Exactly like that. At that point, you didn't want anything else except the air to breathe. Similarly, when your mind becomes one-pointed and it is so focused to understand, to find out Krishna, to find out God, Supreme Personality of Godhead, that time you will see God. You don't have to be concerned about it too much at this stage. You're not ready for that." In other words, your mind is absorbed in so many things at the moment in this dream world. You are floating. And in that dream world, you want to have the knowledge of the absolute truth. That's not possible. That is the difficulty. This is the reason why the great sages, they want to develop another world of their own, where they could be free from Jagrat, free from Swapnam, and free from Sushupti, from the three states of existence. That is why it is said like this. So, often our mind, first we have to understand what's the nature of our own mind. Our mind is like that. We want answers to all the questions before we take to spiritual life. And then if we find it all makes sense to me, they will say like that, isn't it? If it all makes sense, then you will take it. Otherwise, you won't take it. This is the difficulty. So once it so happened, one person, he was talking from Bhagavad Gita. He was talking from Bhagavad Gita. So in Bhagavad Gita begins with Karma Yoga, isn't it? Karma Yoga is discussed in detail in Bhagavad Gita, first six chapters. Then six chapters covers with Bhakti Yoga. And then other six chapters, Jnana Yoga. That is how Bhagavad Gita is structured. So he had to give three lectures on three different days. So first day he spoke about Karma Yoga, glorifying Karma Yoga, importance of Karma Yoga, how necessary it is to follow Karma Yoga. So many things he spoke. And he spoke so much in detail about it, everyone felt the necessity to practice Karma Yoga. Practice Karma Yoga. In the next day, when he came to talk, he spoke about Bhakti Yoga. At that time, he didn't talk about Karma Yoga at all. He spoke about Bhakti Yoga in depth, and he spoke about the importance of Bhakti Yoga, and he said, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmam Susukham Kartum Avyam. So many things he spoke in such a way about Bhakti Yoga, that the person, those who heard the day before, when they heard about Bhakti Yoga the next day, they thought that, oh, Bhakti Yoga is important now. Isn't it? Yesterday Karma Yoga was important. Today Bhakti Yoga is important. That day also gone. When the next day, third day came, he spoke about Jnana Yoga. He explained very clearly to them, without Jnanam, everything else is useless. And he spoke about Jnana Yoga in such a depth that after hearing about Jnana Yoga, they realized that Jnana Yoga is more important than Bhakti or Karma, or Bhakti is more important, or Karma is more important. They all got confused with these three Yoga, Karma, Jnana and Bhakti. So when all the 3 days were over, one of the listeners came up to the Swamiji and told him that day before yesterday you spoke about Karma Yoga and said Karma Yoga is the most important thing. Yesterday you spoke about Bhakti Yoga and you said Bhakti Yoga is important. Today you have talked about Jnana Yoga and you are saying Jnana Yoga is important. I'm completely confused, he said. This person says to this sannyasi. Sannyasi says to him, day before yesterday is day before yesterday. Yesterday is yesterday. Today is today. These day before yesterday, yesterday and today all exist in your mind. I live in eternity, he said. This is the proper understanding. We live in eternity. This time and space is imposed by the society on us. And we start seeing things from time and space, everything. Because day before yesterday he spoke like this, so for that day that was important. Immediately you linked with the time. Spiritual life is concerned, time doesn't exist. Time has no value. Time is in relationship with the body. Nothing to do with the soul. Soul is eternal. So they are living in the limitations of time and limitations of space, isn't it? That is what the material knowledge means. All material science and material calculations, material consciousness, material mind, everything works on this principle of time and space. Nothing else. Time and space is important for them. Time and space is important for them. But once you cross over that, as like in the case of realized souls, they don't bother about these things. Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti are all going towards Krishna at the end, towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. None of them are coming, it's not causing any problem for them. They will execute Karma Yoga, they will execute Jnana Yoga, they will execute Bhakti Yoga. For them, the goal is important. They are not into categorizing things, which yoga system I am practicing. In fact, when you finish your life here in this world, and when you eventually got liberated, and say you gone back to Vaikuntham, nobody is standing there with a chart checking out whether you have come through Bhakti Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga. Is there? Do you imagine that there is somebody standing there with a chart to check us out? Which process have you been following? Okay, that part of the Vaikuntha planet is for the Jnanis. This part is for the Yogis. This part for the Karmis. It's not like that. It's not, there is no description of that anywhere in the Shastram. Things like that. This is all our ordinary human mind has created. Vatandida tattva vidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabjade. Truth is one. And the same truth, different people call in different names. Brahmedi, paramatmedi, bhagavan. Devotees call it as bhagavan. And the jnanis call it as brahman. The yogis call it as paramatma. But the truth is one. The same truth is known by different categories of people who are searching the truth under different titles. But the truth is one. So similarly, all the yoga system is meant to know Krishna. All the yoga system is meant to know Krishna. But instead of knowing Krishna, we get caught up in all the unwanted things. And this is our mind. So our problem is our own mind first. This mind is absorbed in questioning and finding out all the answers on our plane, our level of understanding. And so long as the mind is absorbed in that way, it is very difficult to know the truth. Just like that, Swamiji has replied them that yesterday exists for you, day before yesterday exists for you, today exists for you, I live in eternity. That is realization. The sannyasi is not supposed to think like that. All around, day before yesterday I was talking like this, today I was talking like this. No, that is for those who are in that concept of life and they can convert by the time and space. Time and space, the two important things. So from the spiritual point of view, all these things are obstacles. All are obstacles. They have no significance. That is why when we read Puranams also, we shouldn't give importance to such things. They have no significance as far as the our goal is self-realization. And in the process of self-realization, in the process of self-realization, these things are insignificant. They have no value. Like many times you will see, even among devotees, they are concerned about finding out what happened 5,000 years ago. And exactly when Krishna appeared, they are busy with calculating the time when Krishna's appearance. And they are more concerned about the things which are irrelevant as far as spiritual realization is concerned. They get into studying the history and trying to get information from Puranas. And they start researching the Puranas. And they start to bring it in line with what we are preaching to the world or what the modern science has spoken about. The science is a jada vidya. History is a jada vidya. Jada vidya means it's a dead subject. Dead means it has no life in it. It is all related to matter. Therefore it is jadam. Whereas spirituality and Vedic literature are literature referring to the soul. Or literature referring to the soul, which is a totally different thing. So trying to bring the Vedic literature and Vedic philosophy into the mundane literature, into the mundane literature, mundane level, one will get confused about it. That's why it's important to bear this in mind all the time, that spiritual literature, particularly spiritual values, often while discussing this also, Prabhupada used to bring this point, but many often it won't hit our mind. It's like that. Sometimes some very older devotees, they were asking Prabhupada about what happened in the Second World War and why India joined sides with Britain or things like that. Those things have no relevance as far as spiritual life is concerned. And Prabhupada used to mention this in a story way, like the Dr. Frog's philosophy, Prabhupada used to say. Why Dr. Frog? Because Dr. Frog's understanding is limited to a few things in this world, isn't it? Dr. Frog thinks like that. In the small well where frog is living, he thinks this is the largest ocean, what is seen. When another frog comes from the sea and says to him, there's something bigger than that. But still he is comparing, his mind is such, the frog's mind is such, he is still comparing this well where he is living in relationship with the ocean, what he has heard about. Like this he starts doing this. This is what is the frame of the mind, what the limitation of the mind. The mind does this. that in place, in relationship with space, like in the case of the frog, frog thinks the well is the greatest, the tank of water tank compared to the sea. He doesn't know anything about the sea. But a person who has come to the spiritual platform, he cannot think in these terms. What he is seeing there, everything is Krishna's manifestation. Krishna is seen in everything. He does not realize, even not only about this earthly planet, the whole creation he sees as Krishna's manifestation, gross manifestation. And Krishna is present in everything, in all the living entities. And even in the matter, matter is surviving and matter also is changing, like the trees, the plants, everything is also existing because of the presence of the Krishna's presence there. So what exists for the spiritually advanced soul is nothing but the spirit, the spiritual nature, Krishna's presence in everything. That is more important for him than the study of history, study of science, study of all the other archaeology and this kind. This is so no use at all. In one who wants to advance on the spiritual path, these things doesn't help. This is the most important point. So all this is coming from where? Avidyamano pravabadhi dvayo dhyadurdhiya sopnamanoiradhau yadaha tal karma sangalpa vigalpagammano budhenirandhyadhayam tadasyal. In that one verse he is saying that unless you cross over this barrier created by what? By the mind, by this dream, by the Jagrat state, the dream and the Jagrat mixed up together, avidya. Unless one cross over all these things, one cannot come to the transcendental level, transcendental platform. That is when one can understand Bhagavadam. So, now when we hear Bhagavadam, if we are not able to understand something, we don't have to blame anyone. It is our present state of mind, where we are at. So, that is what it is spoken here. So, in relationship with Krishna's presence in the Bhagavadam, you may wonder, you hear Bhagavadam, say for example Krishna's appearance, you heard Krishna's appearance is coming in a few days, isn't it? So let's talk about Krishna's appearance. When we talk about Krishna's appearance, we hear about Krishna's appearance, and then second time when we hear about Krishna's appearance, what do we say? We say, oh, he heard all these things before. The same thing again, we are, oh, what is there in it? Isn't it? That's how our mind is. It's not like that. That is why, that's because the same problem in us. When the sages decided that to take us to another world, which is free from this Jagrat state mixed with dream or Manoratham, mental chariot, and free from the Swapnam, dream world, in that particular world, when we operate, when we hear about Krishna, what happens? We experience something from that, when the hearing is proper. If you are free from these two limitations, namely the Jagrat and Swapnam, when we hear about Krishna, what will happen is spoken in the Bhagavadam, that when you hear about Krishna, it generates what is called Anandam. Anandam means that blissful nature of the soul. Soul is bound to experience Anandam, happiness from within. This happiness can only come from, which is called Anandam, comes from the soul. Anandam comes from the soul. The exact word in the Shastram is Rasam. Rasam means Rasovai Saha. Rasam means Krishna. See, when you hear something and if it gives you a certain Rasa, Rasa means that experience of happiness within, it's coming from the soul. You have to know that. It is coming from the soul. And that is always what happens in relationship with Krishna. So, but actually, because of our limited state, even Krishna has to do things in such a way that he has to come down to our level. All the spiritual masters also have to do this. All the great Mahatmas, great souls, they also do the same thing. Krishna also does the same thing. What do they do? Sometimes, the great souls also, they will talk about something mundane to the disciples. They will start talking something about mundane things. Like Prabhupada sometimes will talk, come out of the spiritual topics and start talking about something about the issues in this world. Prabhupada knew very well, all this has no meaning. It has no meaning because he knows that virtually there is no understanding of God consciousness. And what is the point in analyzing about them? Is there anything going to come out of it? But, and therefore, he used to consider it is totally pointless discussing about this government or that government, this problem or that problem. Because problem is, there is no Krishna consciousness. That's the problem. So instead of discussing about that, about Krishna consciousness, they are trying to discuss on the periphery of these topics. Oh, suppose this prime minister has done like this, what the other government would have done. So many useless topics. In such a limited time, the disciples are talking such topics with the spiritual master. Spiritual master does not want to talk about it because he doesn't find it any more enthusing. Enthusing in the sense, it's not beneficial from the spiritual point of view. He wants to avoid it. He wants to talk, but because the disciples are not able to come to that level, they are thinking that, oh, because the mind is so deeply rooted in this world and Maya, that they think that these are important. Whereas a devotee who has understood what is Krishna, who has seen Krishna's control on the situation, will not discuss about these topics. Krishna strongly warns against it in the Bhagavatam. What does Krishna say about that? Krishna says this. Krishna says that, if you discuss too much topics related to that, what will happen is you will fall from your own sarupam. Sarupam means your identity, personal identity. From your spiritual identity, you will fall down. Asatyam abhiniveshara. Asatyam means which is false. You are catching hold on something false and you are discussing this. It will parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na garhadi. Krishna says, others' activities in this world are not to be glorified or not to be condemned for one reason only. Parasubhava karmani na prashamsadi na garhadi. Why? That the result will be from swarubam asatyam abhiniveshada. You will fall from your spiritual position, your spiritual realization. Immediately you will get bodily identification and you will start working in that direction. So those who are realized will never do that. Normally they don't do it, because they will avoid it as much as they can. But in some situations, when they find that the disciples are not able to come to that level of realization and are still interested in mundane topics, they may talk one or two things here and there just to keep their interest going in the conversation. But through that, they'll bring them back to spiritual life again. This you can notice it. If you read Prabhupada's many of the conversations, you will find this. Prabhupada was always saying this, that in a few years' time, I have to leave this world. I could be gone from here anytime. He had this memory many times, few years before his departure. So even at that time, he was pointing out how important it is to take Krishna consciousness seriously rather than worrying about all the other silly things of this world. Very much conscious of that, he was saying that. But still, some of them were willing to discuss such topics because of this sapnam and manoratham, what they were living in. This happens. This is not meant to be. This is because of that lack of spiritual realizations in them. Lack of spiritual realizations in them. So, even in Krishna's case, Krishna has to do this. For example, when Krishna comes here, then he gives us an opportunity to say, Krishna is born. He was born. We are saying, we are celebrating his birthday. What birthday for Supreme Personality of Godhead? The whole creation is Krishna's. Krishna has created all these things. And we celebrate. Because as soon as it says birthday, it suits us. Because then so there's a birthday party followed by that. So it suits us, our nature. Then Krishna says, if I get married, it will help you, won't you? Because you all like to get married. So he says, okay, let me marry 16,000 wives, so you be happy. Because of my marriage, you all be happy. Because you can discuss about my marriage and feel happy about that. When Krishna got married to Rukmini Devi, there are, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that topic of marriage to Rukmini is discussed at length. Why? To satisfy those people who like to discuss about marriage, feast of the marriage, and all the guests who had come for the marriage, how they exchanged their presents, and what all nonsense they spoke in the marriage, who got drunk and who didn't get drunk. This, like this, this is our taste. So in order to cater to our taste, Krishna has to do all these things. Otherwise, what birth is for Krishna? What marriage for Krishna? Sometimes Lord Ramachandra has to show us that he was distressed because of Sita Devi's departure. Like us, he has to show also that he was in distress. So we also able to find Ramchandra was also in distress. So I am also in distress. Otherwise, where is the relationship? There cannot be any relationship. So only because that our consciousness is like this, that Swapnam, Jagrat, Swapnam, Manoratham, in these three states we are in. And if they don't come down to our level and show something, we will not be able to relate with them. Therefore, it is said like this, that this is a very important point, because we, in our normal life, we take all these things for granted, isn't it? Once or twice you will hear about Rukmini's marriage, then after that you will say, oh, I've heard this many times before. What's so big about it, you will say. And then we'll go for somebody else's marriage, looking for. That's what more we will be concerned about. But that is not what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about. Through all these episodes in Bhagavatam, it is only to wake us up to spiritual reality, to make us understand, if your mind is able to think that Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom from whom everything comes, Satyam Param Dhimahi, is the absolute truth. Bhagavatam begins with absolute truth, Satyam Param Dhimahi, nothing but Krishna Param Dhimahi. And Bhagavatam finishes with the same word, Satyam Param Dhimahi. We are concerned about that Satyam, the absolute truth. We are not concerned about this relative things of this world, relative truth. That is not Srimad Bhagavatam is discussing. But to bring to absolute situation, you have to pull us through this relative situations. That is what is happening with all these different stories and pastimes which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, you will find that there are several glorifications by great devotees, isn't it? Bhishma Stuti, Kunti Stuti, Prahlada Stuti, Dhruva Stuti, Gopi Stuti, Akrura Stuti, Ambarisha Stuti. Like this, the Stutis are glorification from great personalities. Then there is pastimes there, Krishna's pastimes, Katha. Katha is there. So how to connect between Stuti and Katha, one has to learn. Otherwise, what will normal happen is, when we start reading Stuti, we get bored. What's this Stuti? It's all glorifications. And there, Krishna is glorified on a completely different level. That's not interesting to us. But when it comes to Katha stories, yes, something we can relate with. That Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, or Krishna stealing the butter, or killing the demons. Those things we can sit and listen. Or Subhadra's marriage, or things like that. That we can relate with. Whereas the other things, we find absolutely a foreign substance to us. We don't know what to do with it. All these glorifications by the devotees. This is our mind normally, isn't it? That's how it works. But we have to learn that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, those glorifications are more important than this Stuti. Because through these glorifications is where the philosophy and the deeper understanding of Krishna comes from. Because these are the words coming from realized souls who have seen Krishna, who have understood Krishna. And it is their words. So those words, it is those devotees' words more important than these even pastimes. Pastimes are only to attract us towards Krishna. But the truth lies in their statements. The statements what these great souls have spoken. Kunti Stuti, Bhishma Stuti, they have to be studied in depth and understood properly as well. So, because these things are all spoken, Bhagavatam has been written by Vedavyas, it is not a history as I mentioned before. It is nothing to do with history. You may find something historical importance in Bhagavatam. That is another thing. Something related with history also you may find there. But the goal is not writing a history. If somebody says things that he is studying a history book, he is completely lost in that process. Let us take, for example, Parikshit Maharaj's story. Before studying Parikshit Maharaj, we have to know in this Jagrat state, what exactly are we doing? Isn't it? What exactly are we doing? We know that the nature of the soul is what? Sat, Chit and Anandam. Isn't it? Sat, Chit and Anandam. Sachidanandam we call it. That is our true nature. Is Sachidanandam. Krishna's nature is also Satchidanandam. What is that? Sat, Chit and Anandam. The same three things in Krishna, same three things in us also. If we are identifying, if we have realized the soul, spiritual nature, then we will also have these three qualities always in us. What is that? Sat, Chit and Anandam. Sat means what? Eternity. Sat means eternity. Chit means beauty. Chit means beauty or awareness. In other words, that is through which we experience things. The beauty of everything is experienced through Chit. And Anandam means the happiness. Anandam means the happiness. So Sat, Chit and Anandam is the three qualities associated with spiritual life and spirit soul. Krishna is always Satchidanandam. What do we say? Satchidananda Rupaya. Krishna's, in the prayers we say, isn't it? Satchidananda Rupaya Vishwalpatyadi Hedave Tapatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Nama. So Satchidanandam is Krishna's nature. Our nature is also Satchidanandam. Our nature is also Satchidanandam, but only theoretically, not in practice, isn't it? Practically, what is our nature? We are controlled, not but our tendency is to become Satchidanandam. Our tendency is to become Satchidanandam. You can see there how it happens. In this contaminated state of Jagrat, in this contaminated state of, in the state of Swapnam, in Sushupti and all that, whatever we have given the priority, that takes us, control us all the time in our activities as well. Isn't it? As I mentioned this one example, that if money becomes the most important thing, that will be the criteria of all our activities. Isn't it? Money. Why we look for money? We want security in life. Isn't it? Security means what? Sat. Sat is the security. Sat means eternity. We want to exist eternally. But because we are not in the spiritual platform, we are in the bodily platform, we associated with money as security. Thing is the same. What we are looking for is security. Security, eternity means security for us. That once I know, I live eternally, the fear of death is gone totally from me. Isn't it? I don't have to be concerned about the fear of death anymore. But why I'm frightened of death now? Because I feel that I will die one day. I'll die one day. That fear of death is overpowering me. So I'm taking all precautions, going to hospital, doing all the blood tests and all millions of tests they tell you to do. Knowing very well I'll die, still I'm doing all these tests. Running to the consultant and keeping the weight under control and eating carefully. Somebody has just reading enough is enough about diabetes. You're worried. You're cross 40, Asian origin. You must get diabetes, they say. So like this, all these kind of fears are existing. Why? Because of the identification with the body. I want to live eternally. But I am in the bodily concept of life. So Sat is what I am looking for. But I cannot have the Sat in the body. Body, it is not possible to have Sat. Sat is only possible when we realize Satchidanandam nature. When we realize the Satchidanandam nature. So generally what we do is, when we consider different stages in life, different things becomes important. When one is young, importance is money. Wants to acquire as much wealth as possible. When one gets old, importance is not wealth so much, it is the health more important then. So one worry about that. And somewhere else, beauty and other things gets attraction or sense gratification. So that way mind goes. Whatever it is only Satchidanandam what you are looking for. Only thing is, it is in a perverted level. In the identification with body, we are looking at it. Through body, we are trying to get it. And that's where things go wrong. When we have acquired wealth and a lot of money is deposited in the bank or in stocks or shares or properties or this or that, what do we have happen? What is that bringing us? Actually, you feel security, isn't it? You feel security. And this thought is in everyone's mind. You feel secure from that. People in America sometimes, when the first time they landed in the moon, even they started reserving places in the moon. There were some people wanted to open a company that in 10 years' time they were saying that the moon travel will be so free that people will be able to fly there or get there by whatever scientific process. So they started thinking, if we book some land property there also, it's not a wrong thing to do. Why? Security. They're worried that if something happens in this earthly planet, some floods or some other earthquake, or maybe we can catch the flight there and get there where we rest. So this thought of escaping from this thing called death is always in us. At every second, it's closely connected with us. And that you cannot separate us out. It's not possible. Because the nature of the soul is like that. And that's where it's coming from. It is from the soul, it has come to us, and we are fighting that through this body. Through this body we are trying to fight that. So when we have crossed over that limitation, we can immediately see that if Satchidanandam is our true nature, why am I not able to endeavor in that direction? And that is why we discussed that if we create a world where we can free from this, influence of time, influence of death, influence of old age, influence of disease, by moving on to another world, which is the world of the great souls, great devotees, great jnanis, and Krishna, and Krishna's pastimes, then you live eternally. There is no other way. You live eternally then. You don't die anymore. And this is exactly what happened to Parikshit. Parikshit, what happened to Parikshit? When he came and sat down to hear Bhagavadam, he says to him that somebody told him, somebody means Shamigarishi's son, told him that in 7 days' time you are going to die. Isn't it? Why 7 days? Why not next day itself? Why did he say 7 days? He said to him, in 7 days' time you are going to die. And Parikshit understood, I am going to die in 7 days' time. The reason for that is, the plan, Krishna's plan was that Sudeva Goswami had enough time to speak Srimad Bhagavatam through once. And that is how the 7 days Saptaham has come about. So giving enough time to Sudeva Goswami to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning Parikshit is listening to Sudeva Goswami. And Sudeva Goswami is saying to him, you still have 7 days' time before your death. That's how Bhagavatam starts. And at the end of Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami is asking Parikshit, are you prepared to die? Parikshit laughs at it. About his own foolishness, 7 days before what he experienced and what he was experiencing now after 7 days were totally different story. Now he realizes, he says there, then I realize I don't die. So actually death is only for the body, not for the soul. So once he has moved on to the identity of the soul, when he has realized, then he realized there is no such thing called death, and there is no such thing called birth also. This birth and death is only in relationship with the body. Now Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudeva Goswami. While hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit had a reason to go, a reasonable state of mind, which he was experiencing very badly. Can you imagine that a great personality like Parikshit Maharaj will do such a thing what he did? Such a cultured person, Parikshit, who saw Krishna within the womb of Mother Uttaradevi, would never ever do such a thing what he has done to that sage. Then why did he do that? This question will come. We only read the story and we think, he did like that, so he was cursed and so he went in. But that is not the proper way to think. You have to think like this. Why a personality like Parikshit, who controlled Kali with his sword, and who was so pure and such a great devotee of Krishna, how could he do such a thing of taking a dead snake and putting it around a great sage's neck? How could he do that? That question remains, isn't it? I'm sure some of you may have thought in that direction. These things have been thought about by the Vedavyas, did not write Bhagavatam, just a storybook. It's not Harry Potter's book. It is a book to make us to think about life, to think what are we and where are we going, and what are we, first of all, what's our identity, to find out that. That is why it's written like that. That the reason for that is Parikshit saw Krishna within the womb of the mother. Within the womb of mother, Uttaradevi came up to Krishna and told him, what did she say? Pahi pahi mahayogin devadeva jagalpade nanyantu adhavayam pashel yatramrtyu parasparam. In the Bhagavatam, there are three personalities who have actually surrendered to Krishna totally. Total surrender. What we call as Sharanagati. Sharanagati means complete surrender to Krishna. Complete surrender to Krishna. In other words, completely able to offer to Krishna. And that is not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, Draupadi, Uttaradevi and Bali Maharaj, they are the three personalities who have done this excellent way. Uttaradevi, when Ashwatthama's Brahmastram went into Uttaradevi's womb, and Uttaradevi realized that the child is dead. Uttaradevi realized that the child is dead. Child is dead. Parikshit. Parikshit was in the womb. Child is dead. Child was not making any move. Stomach was going cold. She comes up to Krishna and says to him, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. Krishna was addressed as Mahayogin. Yogi, greatest yogi of all the yogis. Deva Deva Jagalpade. Jagalpade. Or the complete control of the whole universe, total universe, all creation. Nanyam tvad abhayam pashel yatramrtyu parasparam. I can only take your shelter now. Her Pandavas were all standing there. Yudhishthira was there, Arjuna was there, Bhima was there, Nakula was there, Sahadeva was there. All great personalities. Didn't go to any one of them. Didn't say that any one of them can protect. She realized it. The only person who could protect her at that point was Krishna alone. Krishna and Krishna alone. Nobody else. Why? That word is important. Yatra mrtyu parasparam. This Yudhishthira, this Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, they are also under the clutches of death. So where is the question of someone who is under the clutches of death can protect me? She understood this straight away. And that is why she didn't look this side or that side, went straight to Krishna. Went straight to Krishna. So this pleased Krishna very much, that Uttaradevi's, that surrender to Krishna. Because you have to remember, Uttaradevi decided to stay back in this world out of Krishna's request. When Abhimanyu died in the battle, Uttaradevi wanted to give up her life as well by jumping into the fire, by performing sati, like the Kshatriya women did those days. And Uttaradevi was requested by Krishna to stay back, because Uttaradevi, Krishna knew that Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb of Uttara. And only out of Krishna's request, Uttara stayed back. And now the baby is dead. Baby is dead. So at that point, Krishna entered into Uttaradevi's womb and stopped the Brahmastram from burning Parikshit. And Parikshit saw Krishna there. Parikshit saw Krishna there. And because of that, when Parikshit came out from the womb, the first thing Parikshit was looking for was Krishna. Where is that person who protected me in the womb? That's what Parikshit was looking for. And that search was going on. The search was going on continuously for a... Every time Parikshit saw somebody, he looked for Krishna in that person. And that unable to see Krishna, having seen him once, not able to see him again, that remained as a source of unhappiness in his mind for a long, long time. For a long period of time. Because this happens to all the devotees. It has happened to Narada Maharshi. It has happened to Dhruva Maharaj. And it has happened to Parikshit also. Once you have seen Krishna, then that separation is unbearable. Unbearable. In the Bhagavatam you can read that. When Narada Maharshi saw Krishna once, what did he say? Apashyal purusham purvam mayam jatatu paashrayam. Krishna says to Srinarada Maharshi that this time you have seen, now you have to wait. Napashyam ubhayam mune. That duality goes straight away. You see, that is the first thing what happens. We know that the duality is disturbing us, isn't it? In this material world, what actually disturbs us, it is the duality. Duality means everything opposite, isn't it? Ragam and dvesham. Some things we get attached to. We think this is nice and we get attached to it. Somebody else, we think he is our enemy and causing us a lot of distress. So, dvesham. Ragam to one, dvesham to another. We don't want it, but it happens. Ragam and dvesham. Similarly, in everything in this world, every object in this world is controlled with these two things, ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. Strictly speaking, this is all nothing but from the production of the mind. It comes from the mind. Nothing to do with the object. Because the mind dictates to us that such and such a person is friendly, so and he is to be, we get attached to him. Or in some way we think that he is a good person. Or due to bodily attachment. All this is coming from the mind. Otherwise we know that all bodily relationships are also false, isn't it? It has no meaning. Similarly, aversion. Where does aversion come from? Aversion comes in the same way when we develop, when we get upset with someone or we don't like somebody, some for whatever reason it may be, aversion builds up. So this attachment and aversion, ragam and dvesham, are the two things which is a product of the mind, which is a product of the mind. So this is called duality. And once you're free from this duality, what we'll realize what is the transcendental state where we see Krishna's presence in every living entity which does not disturb us anymore because we see Krishna in everything. So that is why it said in the Bhagavatam, Na Pashyam Ubhayam Mune, that Vedavyasa Maharshi also says there that when he saw Krishna at that point, first thing what happened to Narada Muni was that duality is gone. First thing was duality was gone straight away. When the duality is gone, immediately experience the spiritual identity. At the moment, due to identification with the body, we are experiencing the duality because it all starts from the body. But the moment the bodily identification, Krishna takes it away, immediately the duality also goes away and then everything is part and parcel of Krishna. So this is what happens. So in our Parikshit's case, what happened was, after seeing Krishna in the womb of Uttaradevi, he has been looking for Krishna. When he saw this great sage, completely absorbed in the transcendental mood, Parikshit Maharaj felt envy. Because he has been looking for Krishna and he was not able to find Krishna. And here he saw that he was situated in a transcendental consciousness. In other words, he has gone beyond Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. And that developed into envy, came up to his mind. And that envy turned into anger. That's what normally happens, isn't it? When we get envious of somebody, it turns into anger. And anger developed into next action in some form or the other. And that is what that is the most significant part of it. That he was feeling guilty. Parikshit was feeling a kind of guilty consciousness in his own mind. That I was not able to see Krishna still. And when he saw somebody having it, that experience of Krishna, in his own way, Parikshit felt uneasy about it. This happens to all of us. It not only happens to Parikshit. Although this was brought up by Krishna's arrangement for Parikshit to go through that, what you have to understand here is that once you have experienced Krishna, it becomes also a problem sometimes when we lose that continuity. that breakage. That's what has happened to Parikshit and developed into this. This is the reason why often people, sometimes they criticize great souls, isn't it? Sometimes people criticize, saying about great personalities. Why they do that is this, that in their mind they know what they want, but they're not getting it. So when they're not getting it and they find somebody else is having it, they become envious. Envious means, in the sense that I didn't have it, so that makes it a bit uneasy in their mind. And that develops into a kind of disrespectful nature, and then it becomes abuse and all other sorts of things comes from that. This is the subtle aspect of that. So when Parikshit Maharaj did not put the dead snake on the neck of the stage whimsically, it has happened. There is a very, very strong reason behind it, and that is much more important than anything else. And this is exactly what we are also in the same situation. Our envy for Krishna to in our progress in Krishna consciousness, when we see that somebody else is having it and we are not having it, this is also coming from that. Exactly what Parikshit explained. This is the conclusion of some of the great souls on Parikshit's nature. Otherwise, to think that Parikshit will do such a thing is beyond our dreams. It cannot happen. He was such a great personality that he was above all these kind of things. Like, especially to throw a dead snake, he could have taken the sword and cut his throat easily. He had the sword, he was a king. Nobody would have said one word to him. But to do things like this, it is only because of that envy inside. Parikshit even felt that envy towards the sage, which should not be taken as a negative thing to Parikshit, because it was Krishna's arrangement that Parikshit has, through Parikshit and through this incident, Bhagavatam has to come to this world. Therefore, it has happened in that way. Parikshit, under all circumstances, is a great personality who has all these people who have come in the Bhagavatam. They are all great personality, including Kamsa, Shishubala, Dandavakra. They are all great, great souls, because they have all been able to relate with Krishna one way or the other. Is it not? They all, including Putana. She also were able to go back. Why? Because she also was able to feed Krishna. That is why Sukadeva Goswami, when heard this, what did he say? That verse in the third canto. Aho begiyam stanakala kodam jikham saya paya edapya sadhi lebhe gadindat ujidam kudonyo kamvadayalam sharanam vrajema. This is the words from Sukadeva Goswami. Aho begiyam stanakala kodam. Kalakodam poison was on the breast of Putana. Jikham saya paya yadapya sadhvi, that she wanted to look after Krishna like a mother. And lebhe gadindat uchitam kudonyo. Krishna says to her, you have come to me as a mother. You also come back to the spiritual world. Kamvadayalam sharanam vrajema. Where else will you see this mercy, what Krishna has shown to Putana? Asked Sukadeva Goswami at that time. Sukadeva Goswami's words it is, Kamvadayalam sharanam vrajema. So this is the nature of the living entity. Somehow or the other, that we are missing this connection with Krishna. And that is what is disturbing us all the time. That's what is disturbing us all the time. We want to get back to Krishna. We want to make that relationship. And that is what means self-realization means. Once it is self-realized, then all these things goes away and we are properly situated. Mukti hi tanyadha rupam surubena vyavasthiti. When we, our surubam, our true identity, when you are situated, all these false identities will drop off. There is not something new has to come from outside. Sometimes people think that, oh, surubam means, self-realization means, I'll have to study books and practice it and then I'll become that. This become doesn't help here. We are actually that. What is required is, we have to drop things which are we are not. That is what is required. Actually, what we are spirit soul. We are realized spirit soul. That is our spiritual identity. Sachidanandam is what we are. What we have to drop is those which has come to us. Not we have to bring something into it. Already thing is there inside. the outside things, what is accumulated through vasanas, karma vasanas in several lifetimes, and so many gross bodies and subtle bodies, what we have created around us, that is what we have to shed off. We have to get rid of that. And then we are situated in our true identity as spirit soul. So that is what liberation means. Mukti means that, coming back to our true identity, getting rid of the unwanted and unnecessary things what we have accumulated in the form of vasanas. So so Krishna says here that in this verse, avidyamano avabadhi dvayo vyadurdhiya swapnamano rathau yathaha talkarma sankalpa vikalpakam mano budho nirindhyad abhayam tadasyal. That budho nirindhyad abhayam tadasyal. So we were discussing from Bhagavadam, what we were talking about, Kavi Maharshi talked to this important issue. How did he begin with? He began with this one thing. That first thing is bhayam, fear. King asked him the question, how this fear can be rid of, how to get rid of the fear. The answer was, manye akudaschil bhayam achudasya padam bhujopasanam atranityam udhigna buddhe asadalma bhaval. Vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. That was the first verse. We saw that. There he said that if you want to get out of this fear, first thing is to come achudasya. Achudasya padambhujovasana. What does achudasya padambhujovasana means? Padambhujovasana means that coming out of this jagrat state, which is mixed with this dream, and the dream state, and sushupti, and creating this another extra world of our own, a dream world of our own, where it is Krishna who is present, and Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And that is, that world has to be created within ourselves. So, Vishwalpana yatra nivartade bhim. Then, after that, in the Bhagavadam, we also saw that edava evai bhagavada prokta upaya atmalabdhaye anjapum sama vidusham vidhi bhagavadan hitan. Bhagavad Dharma, the symptoms of Bhagavad Dharma were spoken. Evai Bhagavad Dharmam, Evai Bhagavad Prokta Upaya Atmalabdhaye Anjapumsam Avidusham Vidhi Bhagavadan Hidan. Avidusham Pumsam Anja Atmalabdhaye Evai Upaya Bhagavada Prokta Tan Bhagavadan Vidhi. For ignorant people, in order for them to understand the science of the soul easily, whatever shortcuts or whatever techniques Krishna has spoken directly, those things are known as Bhagavata Dharmam. That is what that verse. All the other dharmam was spoken through different sages. But this very confidential Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna has spoken from himself. And they are known as Bhagavata Dharmam. Why it is so easily? That is what is in the next verse. Yanastaya naro rajan na pramadhi edakarhichil dhavan nimilyava netre naskhalel napate diha. Hey Rajan, yanastaya nara karhichil na pramadhyeda netre nimilya jaha iha dhavan naskhalel napate va. He says here, one who has taken the shelter of this Bhagavata Dharmam, that he will never be once again disturbed by that. Because even if he runs with both eyes closed in this world, it is not going to disturb him. These two eyes is referred to as Shruti and Smriti. We have spoken about this before. In other words, if one closes, what does it mean actually? Even one closes his eyes and runs. In other words, even if some mistakes or happens in his execution of Krishna consciousness, if he is executing Bhagavata Dharmam, then there is no possibility of fall. It will not bother him, provided he is executing Bhagavata Dharmam. Otherwise, not. So, that is what is discussed in the next verse. What is Bhagavata Dharmam? Bhagavata Dharmam is discussed, it's a very, very famous verse. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyalpana va prakrite svabhaval karodi yadyal sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayami. This is Bhagavata Dharma. This one verse is what is the answer from Kavi Maharshi. What is that? Kayena vacha manasendri erva buddhyalpana va prakrite anusrade svabhaval or prakrite svabhaval കരോതി യദ്യൽ സകലം പരസ്മൈ നാരായണ ഏതി സമർപ്പയാമി സമർപ്പയേതൽ. സോ കായ മീൻസ് ബോഡി, വാച മീൻസ് വേർഡ്സ്, മനസ്സ് മീൻസ് മൈൻഡ്, ഇന്ദ്രിയം മീൻസ് സെൻസസ്, ബുദ്ധി മീൻസ് ഇന്റലിജൻസ്. And whatever we are do, this is our gross body and the subtle body combined together. And then in addition to all that, we have got what is called vasana sinnas, isn't it? That is what is mentioned here. Buddhyalpanava anusrata swabhaval. Anusrata swabhaval means whatever that comes from our purva samskaram or from our previous vasanas, what we have captured in several lifetimes, that is going with us. Buddhyalpanava prakrite swabhaval. So whatever that is with us, if all that is, if it is done, and accordingly we function in this world, isn't it? We function in this world because of that. Why do we work in this world? Because of vasanas, karmam. Karmam and vasanas that force us to act in one particular way or the other. The mind is engaged, the senses are engaged, the body is engaged, the intelligence is engaged, and the vasanas are controlling it to a large extent. It is controlled by that. So with a combination of all these things, we act in this world. We are absorbed in so many different activities, in Jagrat as well as in Swapnam also, isn't it? So Krishna, Kavimahashi is saying here, കരോതി യദ്യൽ സകലം പരസ്മൈ നാരായണ ഏതി സമർപ്പയേതൽ. ഇഫ് വൺ ഓഫേഴ്സ് എവ്രിതിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ, ഇഫ് വൺ ഓഫേഴ്സ് എവ്രിതിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ സേക്ക്, ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡൺ ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് വട്ട് എവർ വി ആർ ഡൂയിങ് അണ്ടർ ദി ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ഓഫ് വാസനസ്, അണ്ടർ ദി ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് പൂർവ്വ സംസ്കാരം, ഓർ അണ്ടർ ദി ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ഓഫ് മൈൻഡ്, ബോഡി, സെൻസസ്, ഇന്റലിജൻസ്, എവ്രിതിങ്. If all those activities are offered to Krishna, then it becomes Bhagavata Dharmam. It's a little difficult thing to understand because when we say this, Bhuman kayena vaja muhurabhimanasa tulbala prerita alpa yadyal kurve samastam tadiha paradaram toyasa varpayami. Difficulty is this. ഭൂമന് കായേന വാചാ മുഹുരഭി മനസാഹ. ദാറ്റ് കായം വാചം മനസ്സ്, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് മൈൻഡ്, വേർഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് ദ ബോഡി, വിത്ത് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ്. തുൽബല പ്രേരിതാത്മാ, ഹൂ ഈസ് പ്രോംപ്റ്റിംഗ് എസ് ഫ്രം വിത്തിൻ? ഇറ്റ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് പ്രോംപ്റ്റിംഗ് എസ് ഫ്രം വിത്തിൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് പ്രോംപ്റ്റിംഗ് എസ് ടു ഡു തിങ്സ്. ഓൾദോ വി ഡോണ്ട് വി തിങ്ക്, ബിക്കോസ് അവർ റിയലൈസേഷൻസ് ആർ സോ പുവർ, that we are thinking, I am doing this, that will never go easily. I mentioned this before also. Even after coming to realization, these two things, I am the doer and the result, it will not go very, very easily. It is mentioned like that in the Shastram, that these two things are ahamamedi, that is very difficult to throw it away. Ahangaram, because ahangaram is there, false ego is there. And so long as false ego is there, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And once a false ego is completely gone, then you are in the realized state, isn't it? Then you are in the realized state. So, even if you have made a lot of progress in spiritual path, from Shastram and by other devotional practices, japam, dhyanam, puja, meditation or deity worship or whatever it is, even if you have executed a lot of these things, and even if you have progressed along in your spiritual path, these two things will still stay. Which are they? Aham amedi, me, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Aham karta, aham bhokta. That is a very difficult thing to get out of it. It's very difficult thing to get out of it. So, by studying Shastram and by practicing the devotional processes, one will purify oneself a lot. He will come to Sattvagunam, no doubt about it. He will come in Sattvagunam. When, only when, in Sattvagunam, through knowledge, once you have realized it, only then these two things will leave you. Aham kartra, aham bhokta. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Will only leave you at that point. It will go up to that point, it will still stick to you. So this is the difficulty. So, bhuman kayena vacha muhuram vivanasa tulbala prerita alma. Tulbala prerita alma. Krishna is pushing from inside. when we say Krishna is pushing from inside, means we have no independence in doing anything. That's what basically it means. That somehow or the other, somebody is saying from inside, do like this, we go along with that. We think we made the decision. But who made the decision? What do we know about when we make a decision? Yadyal kurve samastam. Then everything what we do, if we come to understand like that, kurve samastam tadiha varadaratvaya savarpayami. That if you offer the results of all these things to Krishna, I'm doing so many things, but all the results, if I offer it to Krishna, then what happens? I am not bound by that. This is what Krishna is saying. You are not bound by that. Provided you offer the results to me. That's the first thing. Offering the results to me. In that process, it may not be possible to do everything in offering the results. There is a way of talking about this. That somebody is sweeping the floor. Somebody is sweeping the floor. And after sweeping the floor, all the dust and all the garbage what he has collected, he can offer it to Krishna and say to him, I have done this because you wanted me to do it, I have done it. At that time, there is no ownership. At that time, you may think, how can you offer that to Krishna? That you have collected the dust and garbage from the room and you are offering to Krishna. No, it is not. The understanding is different here. Here the understanding is, Tulbala Preridalma. It is because inside Krishna has pushed me, prompted me to do this, I've done it. If that conviction is strong inside, then this offering is not going to be offensive. This offering is not offensive. But that conviction has to be very strong and you have to act completely under the guidance of this Tolbala Prayidalma, Krishna's prompting from within. It is a very fine line that divides that. That's why one has to start doing it at some level, which can grow in due course, because that is how it has to start from somewhere. One cannot offer everything to Krishna. We may not get that strength in the beginning. In 1 second, it's not going to happen. But Bhagavata Dharma means this, that offering everything to Krishna, everything to sleeping for Krishna, eating for Krishna, having children for Krishna, in that way, everything becomes Krishna's. This is what is Bhagavata Dharma means. Which is not so easy as we think about it. We say we have surrendered to Krishna. Who has surrendered to Krishna? How many can say it openly, go in front of Krishna and say to him, in front of the deity, Krishna, I have completely surrendered unto you. Can anyone say that? Maybe somebody may say that, but it is not easy. Similarly, this Bhagavata Dharmam is very much like that. Kayena vacha manasendriyeva buddhyalmanava prakrite swabhaval. Prakrite swabhavam, my swabhavam, prakrite swabhaval, according to my nature, I am working in this world. So whether one work in as a shudra or a brahmana or kshatriya or vaishya or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. As long as this understanding is there very strongly in him, that I am working under Krishna's direction, everything good or bad comes from that, it is Krishna's. If that conviction or that is deeply embedded in that person, if he works and develops that on forever, then automatically it becomes Bhagavata Dharmam. That is Bhagavata Dharmam means. That is why in Bhagavata Dharmam doesn't require any rules and regulations. No rules and regulations for Bhagavata Dharmam. Everything is acceptable in Bhagavata Dharmam. Even if you are playing football, also you can think that it is an offering to Krishna. If you are able to do that. But that won't happen. As soon as you start kicking the ball, you think, I have to score the goal. There you are not thinking about Krishna. Krishna is not scoring the goal. While scoring the goal also, you have to think Krishna is scoring the goal. If you can think like that, you can play football. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means basically everything what is done by the body, mind, words, intelligence, everything, Krishna is doing it. Krishna is moving me. This is Saranda. If you remember, Bali Maharaj's story in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a classical example of this. We say three steps. Bali Maharaj, we are satisfied with the three steps, aren't we? That Krishna came in the form of a brahmachari. Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti asked Bali Maharaj 3 feet of land. And Bali Maharaj offered him 3 feet of land very freely because he was the emperor of all the three planetary systems. Krishna measured the two feet, he measured everything. And for the third feet, there was no space to go, to put his feet. Bali Maharaj offered his head. What does it mean? The 3 feet actually it refers to. One is the body, the second one is the mind, and third, which is the most difficult thing, what Bali Maharaj offered was this false ego. That his false ego he offered, that is the last minute, Bali Maharaj said, I have nothing more to offer. Everything offered. And that is the point when Krishna is pleased with the devotee, when that Sharanagati comes from a person, when offers to Krishna everything without any reservation further, when one is able to completely offer to Krishna, that is perfection of Krishna consciousness. That is perfection of Krishna consciousness. That is why Atmani Vedanam, the last thing is kept. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmani Vedanam. Atmani Vedanam is the last thing. So prior to getting there, one has to go through this other 8. One which will help you to get to the 9th stage. But that perfection we see in Mahabali. And therefore, Mahabali surrender. Only to Mahabali, Krishna says to him, I will stand as in the, doing the security job for you in Sutalam. You can go to Sutalam, I'll be at the doorstep waiting there as your bodyguard. I'll be waiting there. It's in the Bhagavatam, this story, that he was waiting for Mahabali's bodyguard. Boy, a person who has surrendered to that degree, for him, Krishna feels he is obliged. He feels that commitment to him. He feels that commitment. Krishna feels that commitment to such a devotee. So you can see the degree of surrender determines everything. Degree of surrender determines everything. Then otherwise, whatever we may study, whatever we may know about these things, it will remain as it is. As long as this Bhagavata Dharma is not practiced properly, we will find that difficulty coming. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyalpanava prakrite svabhaval karodi yadyal sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayetal. So this is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means yadyal kurve samastam tadiha varadaram toyasa varpayami. Everything what is done is offered to Krishna. Everything. If you are going to office, working there, for Krishna's sake you are doing it. Pleasing Krishna is the goal, nothing else. With that as the goal, if activities are done in this world, that becomes Bhagavata Dharma. Then, jatya api hashvabhaga stoi nihidamana karmavag indriyartha prano vishvambhunide nadhu vimukhamana tvalpadad vipravaryaham. Now, on the other hand, Bhagavatam says, on the other hand, jatya viha shobhagam, somebody toinihidamana karma vagindriyartham, a brahmana who is born in a very highly elevated family, he has executed everything according to the brahminical instructions, brahminical knowledge, brahminical culture. Patanam Padanam Dana Parigraham, like that, the 6 Shalgunam, they are called the 6 Gunas for the Brahmana. He has executed everything else. All these 6 kinds which are meant for the Brahmana, he has executed that. But if he has not done this, what this person is doing, Bhagavata Dharmam, he cannot help the world according to Krishna. Krishna says a Brahmana may have executed all these 6 things which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, a Brahmana's responsibility, isn't it? Patanam, Padanam, Yajanam, Yajanam, Danam, Parigraham. These are the 6 things which you know. Shalguna, it says. Shalgunam. They are called Shalgunas for a Brahmana. Patanam, Padanam. Studying Shastram, teaching others Shastram. Yajanam, Yajanam. Performing sacrifices and making others to perform sacrifices. Danam, Parigraham. Giving charity, receiving charity. These 6 things are referred to Brahmanas as their main activities. So these 6 things are done, and if it is done properly, he is supposed to be Vipra, a Brahmana who is advanced. Vipra adishal guna idad aravindan abha. That he has got all gunas, all qualities he has got. But Krishna is saying here, jatya abhiha shubhaga. One who has born in somehow or the other, due to prarabdha karma or whatever it is, one had to accept a body in unfavorable circumstances. Unfavorable circumstances where he did not get an opportunity to develop that kind of culture. But jatya viha shvabhaga toinihita mana karma vagindriyartha. But that person, if he offers his karmam, words, indriyam, senses, mind, everything to Krishna, he can purify the whole world, not this brahmana. Why? Because he himself is not pure. The brahmana is not pure. Although he has gone did everything according to Vedic tradition, still he is not pure as far as Krishna is concerned. Whereas a dog eater or a born from a lowest family, even such a person, if he has done practice Bhagavata Dharmam, that means Krishna consciousness. Kayena jatya biha shobhaga. Shobhaga means dog eater. Jatya biha shobhaga toinihidamana. He has fixed your mind on you. He has decided, all I want is Krishna at the end, nothing else. And I'm going to do everything in my life for Krishna's sake. Tobhaga toinihidamana. And deciding that, what did you do? Karma vak indriya artha. Karmam, activities, walk, words, indriyam, senses. Everything. Prano vishwam punidehe. That by doing that, what he is doing is, that soul, that personality, he purifies the whole world. He purifies the whole world by his presence in this world. Natho vimukhamanaha. Not that brahmana who his mind is turned away from Krishna, who is not surrendered to Krishna, he cannot purify. Why? Natho vimukhamana twalpadad vipravaryaha. Although he is performed, executed all the Vedic injunctions, still he is not pure. Why? He has not performed, executed Bhagavata Dharma. This is the way Bhagavata Dharma has to be understood. Bhagavata Dharma is a big topic. The main thing is, we may understand it theoretically, but to change our outlook and to change our conditioning, and that requires a constant endeavor from our side in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name. These are the two things that will bring us to Bhagavata Dharmam, the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. By constantly studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we will understand what is the right thing, what is the right way to act in this world in order to develop Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we will never know. That it's all easy to put it in one verse, but at the same time, when it comes to practice, we will have a lot of problems coming from different ways, and we will be confused also. But the basic, very basic underlying principle in all these things says this: jatya biha shobhaga toinihidamana karma vak indriyartha prano vishwam punide nadu vimukhamana tulpadat vipravaryaha. Vipravarya, even an advanced brahmana who has studied all the shastram, who has taught others everything, who has performed the sacrifices, and who has received charity and given charity, that brahmana cannot purify this world. Rather, this person who has surrendered to Krishna and executes Krishna consciousness in pure form, not the contaminated form, in the pure form, who understands what Krishna wants and who serves Krishna wholeheartedly, he is the devotee. He is who purifies the world. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss next Sunday.